I'm
chapter 11. 2 Samuel chapter 11. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, maybe somebody next to you does. So I'm going to share it with you so that we can all read y'all together. 2 Samuel chapter 11. This is a chapter I've heard of. If you've read it, it hasn't been saved long, but you've probably heard of the great sin that David, servant of God's committed against the Lord. It's a sad story. You know that David was a man after God's own heart. You know that David was a man that God used, sweet psalmist of Israel. Man that God used greatly in service. But he committed a sin against the Lord. Now, among other things, we'll notice in this chapter, we'll notice that there's nobody too close to God to be tempted. There's nobody too righteous that they cannot fall. All in the flesh and subject to temptation, pride. Yeah. And as long as you're living in that body you're living in right now, and I'm in this one, you are going to be subject to temptation. But that's not what we're mainly going to deal with tonight. We're going to deal with a subject the Lord dealt with me about some years ago. And I've only maybe read this scripture in a church as this that we're going through tonight. Only one other time before, and it was about 3 or 4 years ago, the Lord been dealing with me about bringing it back and mixing it again. And this will be what we'll look at tonight. Chapter 11, verse 1. You know, this is a story where David commits adultery, and God judged him for it, and he had to pay for it. But we want to look at something tonight, and I hope that the Lord will speak to our good. Verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab and his servants with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. David tarried still at Jerusalem. There's his mistake right there. Verse 2. And it came to pass in an eventide, that David arose from off his bed, and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And on the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, Is not this Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite? And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness, and she returned unto her house. And the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, I am with child. And David sent to Joab, saying, Send me Uriah the Hittite. And Joab, that's the woman's husband, and Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come unto him, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, Go down to thy house, and wash thy feet. And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. Now stop right there just a second. Hope you're getting this. He called Uriah, the husband of this woman Bathsheba, out of the battles. And he said, How's the war doing? And he said, Well, you know, it's doing pretty good. And he got down there, and he got down there to David's house, and he said, You go spend the night at your house tonight. But Uriah didn't do it. He slept at the door of the king's house. He stayed at his door. And verse 10, when they had told David, saying, Uriah went not down unto his house, David said unto Uriah, Camest thou not from thy journey? And why then didst thou not go down unto thine house? And Uriah said unto David, The ark and Israel and Judah abide in tents, and my lord Oeb and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and drink and lie with my wife? As thou livest, and as thy soul liveth, I will not this thing. And David said to Uriah, Tarry here today, and tomorrow I will let thee depart. So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and tomorrow. All right, and then we're going to stop right there just a minute. You know how that David had this man Uriah on the front line of the battle so that he would be killed. David wanted him to get killed so he could have this woman. And brother, he got another man's wife, and he called her husband in from battle, and he had that man put on the front of the battle so that man would get killed real quick so he could have his wife. But he didn't get away with it. Because in verse 27 of the same chapter, or verse 26, and when the wife of Uriah heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for her husband. And the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And then in verse 12, chapter 1, and the Lord sent Nathan unto David, Nathan the prophet, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city. Now I want you to get this tonight. Nathan speaks to David by means of a parable. And brother, every time one of God's men gets out of line, every one of God's children gets out of line, I believe God sends them a message.
Amen.
That's the first thing you do. He'll lay it on one of the preacher's heart for somebody to bring you a message. If a man's out here backslid or something, God will put it on somebody's heart to take him a message.
Right.
And listen
Amen.
To the message. Listen to the wisdom in this thing. Mm-hmm. Listen to the great spiritual application that Nathan gave this story to David. Verse 2, or verse, part last part of verse 1. There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceed many flocks and herds. But the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drank of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was unto him as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. Now that traveler would represent the lust that came to David. There came a traveler, brother, that came to the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock. He didn't take his own flock to feed this traveler, this lust that came along, or what we represent. And he didn't take anything of his own flock and his own herd. He had plenty of wives and concubines and all to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb, that's Uriah's wife, and dressed it for the man that was coming to him. And David's anger, when he heard that somebody done something like that, he was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And Nathan shall restore the lamb fourfold, because he did this thing, and because he hath no peace. And Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee, Lord, king over Israel, and I delivered thee a hand of Saul. And I gave thee thy master's house, and thy master's wives under thy bosom, gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given you thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with a sword, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. And of course you know that the child died, and it went on, and he had an illness, and David fasted and prayed, and it died. But I want us to look back at the 11th chapter tonight, take the subject from. Well, I remember telling you a minute ago in verse number 1, the kings went into battle, and David didn't go with them. Now, if David would have went with them, he'd been out there where he's supposed to be, this thing would have never happened.
Amen.
But he tagged still at Jerusalem. And then he done something else in verse 2, and he walked out on horse. I'm going to use this in spiritual application tonight. Speak to you by the help of the Lord on how to have pretty feet. How to have pretty feet, or a spiritual foot washing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege and opportunity that we have to come to you in prayer. Lord, we ask you, God, to forgive us of everything that we've done. Lord, everything that we've said or thought or anything, Lord, that would hinder us from being what you'd have us to be tonight, we pray to us. Our Father tonight, Lord, as we bow before you, we realize, Lord, our helplessness and our hopelessness.
hopelessness. We realize tonight, Lord, that in our flesh we are nothing. But Lord, we're so glad, Lord, that you come to be our helper. We're so glad, Lord, that thank Calvary we're not what we used to be. We're so glad tonight, Father, for the Word of God that comforts and assures our heart. I pray tonight, Heavenly Father, as we look into these scriptures, Lord, that you speak to men, women, boys, and girls, that we be a towering group of Christians when we leave this place tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you open the scriptures, open our minds and our hearts, give us that special anointing, illuminate our minds, loose our tongues, and not defy your word with power and authority tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you cut down any pride, anger, jealousy, wrath, malice, anything that would enter this service. God, I pray in Jesus' name that it's confessed right now, and the blood of Jesus has taken it away. God bless this service tonight. Speak to the hearts of these people. If there's one here that's not saved, save them tonight, Father. And if there be those here that are walking a guilty distance, Lord, that need to have their feet washed, I pray, Lord, that they'll get it done tonight. And Lord, the confidence we'll praise and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. After looking at this story tonight, I hope that the Lord will open your eyes and hearts and give you understanding of this thing. And I want to talk to you about having pretty feet. Having pretty feet, or a spiritual foot washing. Now, I also want to talk about this, and you ought to know, I guess, that this is in a spiritual sense, that David had got himself in big trouble. Right. I mean, there's just a couple of things that got David in this trouble. Now, I've already mentioned them briefly. We're just going to get to you right quickly and briefly tonight and trust the Lord to drive the message home in your heart. You know, a lot of times when people stand to preach, or whether it's in this church or some other church, a lot of people got the idea that, well, it's just another service, and it's another time we go to church. It'll be over in a little while, and then we'll go. But friends, ever since I got saved, I've always took going to church more serious than that.
Amen.
I mean that every time we come to the house of God, and that people give the Lord control, and He takes them, that there is a message for somebody in the congregation.
Right.
I believe there's a purpose in it. I believe there's a reason many times, even for the songs that's sung, for the way the prayers are prayed,
amen.
I believe it's to touch or to minister to some individual.
Right.
And preacher, I believe that if there's anything that Baptist churches, Methodist churches, and Pentecostal churches, and Presbyterian churches need nowadays, it's a good old foot washing. And I'm not necessarily talking about a regular foot washing. A lot of them, they wash their literal feet and spiritual feet dirty and what really needs to be washed. And so I'm talking about a spiritual foot washing tonight, and I hope that you'll get the message. Now we know tonight that your feet is what takes you where that you go.
Amen.
In other words, you have these little kids get up and they say, "Little feet, be careful where you take me to. Anything for Jesus, only let me do." Now there's a lot of truth in that thing, friend. There have been a lot of young men that have not gotten trouble, gotten jail, gotten prison, and even some of them went to hell, had they not let their feet take them to somewhere that they shouldn't be in.
Amen.
There are a lot of people that have gotten big trouble because they didn't walk and go somewhere when they should have walked. And David was guilty of both of these things tonight, and we're going to look at it from the Word of God. First of all tonight, we see that how the king was going forth to battle. It was a certain time in verse 1 when the kings would forth to battle. I mean, the kings, whether they get their armies up and they get all those things, they said, "Okay, boys, it's time to go fight." Now, David, before this chapter, what I've read to you tonight, was always a mighty warrior. David was always a man that fought in battle.
Amen.
David was always a man that nobody, he didn't have to ask nobody to take up for him, or he'd do his fighting himself. But you know, many times it's in a case like this that a person that's a good soldier of the Lord and really does good for a while will seemingly cold feet on the Lord.
Amen.
And carry still and not go forth unto battle.
That's right.
Churches are full of people tonight that just come to the house of God and just sit And some of them don't even come. But some of them just come and just sit and never go out there and fight the battle. And they never go when the kings go forth to fight the battle. The Bible said that David sent Joab. He sent somebody else to do his job. He said, oh, you can do it just as good as I can. I'm resigned. I don't feel led to do it this time. You go ahead and take my place. My friends tonight, you could bring in all kind of stuff on this tonight. We're not going to take a whole lot of time on it. But I don't believe tonight that God's going to tell you to quit doing something unless he's got something else that he wants you to be doing. Now, there's a lot of people that they'll be maybe a Sunday school teacher for a year or so, and they'll say, well, I'm led to quit. And they just quit and sit down and not do nothing. But brother, I personally don't believe God's going to tell you to quit something if he ain't got something else he wants to be doing.
Amen.
God don't call quitters, brother.
That's
he
right.
Don't call people that lay down
right. And
just quit. He wants somebody that'll stick it out and fight the battle. And friends, tonight, David was guilty of this thing. When he should have been out there on the battlefield, he stayed at home.
Right.
Now, friends, I'm going to let this represent tonight. First of all, he had cold feet. He had cold feet, brother. If he had kept on the battlefield and kept moving, his feet would have stayed warm. But because he carried steel at Jerusalem and didn't go fight the battle, friends, he had cold feet. Now, you know that I know tonight that there's a many so-called Christians tonight that have cold feet.
Amen.
I mean, brother, they just sit down and froze up on the Lord, and you can't get them to go and fight the battle. And a lot of times they just sit at home when they know their place is in the house of God. And brother, we probably got some here at our church, I'm sure we do. We've probably got some at these other churches that are here. People with cold feet. You know what cold feet will represent tonight? It will mean that neglecting your duty, knowing you're supposed to be up there doing something, and deliberately sit at home. Friend, there is nothing more sickening in the sight of God than cold feet and laziness. God doesn't put up with laziness. Now, if you ain't got much talent, then you can't help that. If you can't sing like a hummingbird, you can't help that. If you can't get up and quote scripture, you can't get in front of the crowd, then that's not your fault necessarily. But there's one thing, brother, that you can be. If you can't sing, if you can't teach, if you can be faithful.
Amen.
If you can't carry a pin in a bucket, you can be faithful.
Amen.
In the Bible.
That's right.
If you can't carry four verses of scripture, you can be faithful. And brother, you're going to hear me as long as you come to this church, brother, after the Lord, I'm preaching to you that Christians are to be faithful
Amen.
To the house of God. Brother, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble by staying at home when you know you ought to be at church.
Amen.
I don't personally see how, it's more than I can understand, how that people can sit at home and just sit there and watch the boob tube or sit there and listen to a record, knowing right then while they're sitting there that the rest of the Christians are at church praying and trying to do something for God.
Amen.
I don't see how they can do it, brother. I don't think you must not have no conscience. If nothing must not bother you to be able to sit at home and knowing the rest of your brothers and sisters is trying to work for God.
There's
a lot of people got cold feet, and you need to get your feet wet.
Amen.
Now, you know tonight that the first thing to get cold about a person is their feet. You go out in the winter time, and brother, your feet will be if that wasn't for my feet, I wouldn't mind staying out in the sun. My ears bother me sometimes, or maybe the tips of my fingers, but my feet gets cold, seem like quicker than anything. And they're the hardest thing to get warm you've ever seen in your life.
Yeah.
It's hard to get your feet warm after you've done got them cold. You better keep them warm. If they're warm tonight, you better keep exercising. You better keep coming. You better keep going.
Right.
Because if your feet get cold, you're in trouble with the Lord then. Now, see, David, this adultery would have never happened. And, brother, this child would have never had been born. This man would have never had to lose his life in the battle, and a lot of other things would have never happened had not David had cold feet.
Amen.
And there's a lot of people tonight that sit at home when they ought to be in church, And bad things are going to happen to them, brother, that could have been avoided if they hadn't let their feet get cold on God.
Amen.
Brother, you don't cry. Come crying to me if you maybe get sick, if you lay out of church.
Amen.
When you ought to be here. Don't come crying to me about this and that when you got good enough health to be here. Oh, you know, I'm sick. Well, there ain't half as many people sick as claims to be.
Amen.
It's pure laziness.
Amen.
Right. My friends, tonight, I realize there is such a thing as a person getting sick. I realize there is such a thing when you go to get injured, or maybe they break his arm or something, you have to take him to the hospital. But you know what, 9 times out of 10, when people lapse out of the house of God, what's wrong with them? Laziness, brother. Cold feet. That's the truth, the whole truth, nothing but the truth. And if you don't lie, it's a good sign you're guilty.
Right.
Has caused more people to miss church and get in trouble on God than I guess any other one certain thing. The first thing to get told about the man is his feet. And if you know tonight, if you can keep your feet warm, that you'll be warm all over. If your feet are cold, you'll be cold all over. But if you can just keep your feet warm, you can put on a bunch of big pairs of socks, and you can put two or three pairs of socks on, and a good pair of instant boots or something. You know, no matter how cold it is, if a person can keep their feet warm, then the cold don't bother them that bad. But when those toes start turning numb, and they start tingling, brother, and the first thing you know, you can't even feel them, and then the next thing you know, it hurts to even walk, then you're getting in trouble. I remember one time I went up in the woods, and it's been, I guess, right when I was back in school, or right after, and it snowed one morning, and I was going to go squirrel hunting. And I went up there in the woods, and have you ever been in the woods with snow on the ground? It looks completely different than it does when there ain't snow on the ground. I never was too good to have my directions right in the woods anyway. And I went up there one morning, and I was up there, and I thought I knew them woods good, like the back of my hand. Now when I fired up the snow, it made it look different. And I got to walking around there, and next thing I know, I was going in circles, and my feet got colder, kept getting colder, and colder, and colder, and I thought it was going to freeze off. And I kept walking around, and finally made it out, and finally got back to the house. And I don't see if I took the socks off, you put your feet right over the heat. It don't seem like it do it. It does a bit of good. And then they're real red and puffed up. And the next thing you know, when they start thawing out, they start itching. And you can't hardly stand it. When you find out cold feet, friend, is a hard thing to get rid of. And spiritually speaking tonight, cold feet, brother, will keep you from doing what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Cold feet. You know you ought to go, but you just don't go. You know you'll be there, but you just don't be there. I've been coming on my way to church, and I've seen prominent churches or church members from other churches out in their yard mowing their grass at 7:07 on Wednesday night. And I thought, how in the world can they stand up there and mow the grass and the rest of the Christians in the church trying to do something for God? I just don't understand how they can do it. Cold feet will get you in trouble, friend. You need to keep them warm. That means, brother, make your feet stay warm. If you don't want to come anyhow.
Amen.
If you don't feel like it, come anyhow. If you're tired, come anyhow. It's a good place to get some rest. We were talking about the Sunday school lesson this morning, and I told that new converts class, I get it settled in your mind, get it once and all made up in your mind, that you are going to be in the house of God, and you ain't going to let nothing stop you from being in church outside of just something that you can't possibly have. And brother, you show me a person like that, and I owe you a person that'll stay out of sin and won't backslide. You show me a person that'll lay out, and I'll show you a person that the devil'll get in if they only give him enough chance and a long enough time. He had cold feet. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night? Remember reading this little soul winning book? Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and you was cold? And you was about half awake and half asleep, and you couldn't tell where you was cold at. And you start pulling the cover up around your neck and everything, putting it over you, and your feet were sticking out about that far in the bottom. And brother, you couldn't tell, you was freezing, but you couldn't tell where you was cold at. You couldn't figure it out, you was about in a daze, you know. Well, what you didn't realize is your feet is what's cold. And if you get your feet covered up and get them warm, I mean, Linda's worst story. She'll stick them things on old man in the middle of the night, in the wintertime, brother, and feel like icebergs. I'll jump, and brother, you can't hardly stand it. But our person's feet get warm, then, my dear friend, then their whole body will get warm.
Amen.
If their feet is cold, you're cold all over. I've got in bed in the wintertime, my feet's are cold, and it seemed like they just wouldn't get warm. And well, I'd be laying there shivering because I couldn't get my feet warm. Wouldn't be cold nowhere except my feet, and I'd be just a shivering. And that's the same way it is spiritually. There's a lot of Christians, my dear friend, that are saying, well, I believe we need better carpet. I believe this. I'm going to start giving more. Everything in the world to try to make up for their deadness and their coldness, and it ain't a thing in the world. Their feet's just cold.
Amen.
They got cold feet on God, and if they start being faithful and start being in the house of God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, visitation night, their problems would be over, and their feet would warm back up again, and it wouldn't bother them about the carpet. It wouldn't bother them about the ceiling. It wouldn't bother them about the windows. It wouldn't bother them about the parking lot, brother. They would be warm, and they would be warm all over. Now, if we have a good place for them, I'm not going to get fixing up a place, and we'll probably do it one of these days. But you show me a person that all they think about is something else, and always trying to improve this, improve that, and never go witnessing half the time. That person's got cold feet.
Right.
They're trying to cover up everywhere else, and it's just their feet that's cold. That's right. Now, the first thing to get cold about you is your feet, not your eyes. There's a lot of people that think the way you backslide is quit reading your Bible. Your eyes don't get cold first. Your feet get cold first. And a lot of people think the way you quit praying, the way backslide is quit praying too much. But your knees don't get cold first. Your feet get cold first. First thing about you to get cold is your feet. Now, the devil ain't going to come up to you. Let me tell you something, especially you young Christian, you mom and dad, young couple. Let me tell you something, the devil ain't going to come to you and say, oh, this sweet church, here you feel. He probably won't say that, unless you get real discouraged or something. The devil ain't going to come to you necessarily and say, don't never read your Bible.
Amen.
Think Jesus felt like carrying that cross up that hill?
Right.
You think I felt like getting this morning? Staying up for half of the night, 3/4. Brother, it's not a matter of feelings. We can't go by our feelings. We'll never do nothing for God. We gotta keep our feet hot. We gotta be an example to people that are looking for us. We need our feet warmed.
Amen. Right.
Number two, David had dirty feet. Not only was his feet cold, his feet is dirty. We're going to talk about how to have pretty feet. You know who's got the prettiest feet in this church? People that preach the gospel.
Right.
Them that witness. I'll show you the Bible verse for it in a few minutes. Pretty feet. Have you ever heard somebody just walk up to the preacher and say, boy, you got the pretty feet? That's what they're talking about. How beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel and bring glad tidings, you know, of the Lord and the gospel of God. You know, we wear shoes. Why, you don't want to go out barefooted. You don't want to go in walking up and down the hot cement places barefooted. You're supposed to wear your shoes. That's what keeps your feet from getting tore up. That's what keeps your feet from getting burnt on the sidewalk.
Oh, man.
That's what keeps your feet from getting thorns and feet stung and everything else, wearing shoes. Now, there's a lot of people wearing different kinds of shoes. You can look around tonight and see the different kinds of shoes. Some people wear wingtips. In other words, they're ready to fly away at any time. Other some people, they wear hush puppies. Oh, they just walk quietly in, quietly out, never say a word, and never witness, and never tell people about Jesus. And then you could go on and on at the different times of shoes. Come down to them flip flop. They just flop in, flop out, and never say anything to nobody. And brother, the Bible says that we are to wear. Somebody tell me what kind of shoes the Bible said for us to wear. Right, the gospel shoes, right. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Amen.
Not with a bunch of Woman's Day magazine chat. Not with a bunch of soap operas. Have the gospel on your shoes, brother. Have your shoes on. Have your feet warm. Get outside about the battle.
Right. Amen.
My dear friend, David not only had cold feet, number two, he had dirty feet. Dirty feet means he walked somewhere where he didn't have no business of walking.
Amen.
Verse 2. And it came by his enemies in time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the roof of the king's house. You heard the old saying, idle minds, the devil's workshop. It ain't a battle, but it's a pretty good saying.
Right.
Here's David. He's supposed to be out there on the fight. He lay around on his bed. And he gets all that energy built up in him. Isn't it funny how that about 6:30 you're tired, you can't stand it, and when you lay out of church, about 7:30, how much you perky, ready to go over at mama's.
Amen.
You're ready to go over at Sue's. You're ready to go fishing. All these people, brother, they get up on Sunday morning, oh, my God, a headache. And they're so pitiful. And they hurt and hurt so bad. And they say, I just don't hardly believe that I can make. But about 12 o'clock, they start easing off.
Right.
And they ride around
Amen.
All over the mountains on Sunday evening.
Amen.
And if you walk here and you walk there and picnic and everything else, and say, well, I'd even make me feel better if I got out of here a little while. And just ride around all these. And then about 6:30, hit me again. It's coming back.
That's
I just don't believe I can make it. Right? Can't you see the devil in that?
Amen.
Can't you know what the devil's trying to do? Brother, he'll magnify your little infirmity. He'll make you think you're so bad off you just can't make it. But then about church time, when it's everybody's done started too late to come, it'll ease off and you'll
right.
start feeling
Amen.
Good. Why, there's women that lay out of church and because they feel so bad and then clean house the whole time we're up here.
Right.
And you can't tell me tonight that you'd be easier to sit there on that padded pew than it would be to iron clothes and wash dishes.
Amen.
And brother, they'll do it. They'll
right.
do it. And David is sitting there. Back to my story here. David was sitting there and he's on his bed. And brother, he got to thinking about some things. And he said, I believe I'm feeling better now. I should have been out there at the battle, but I believe I'll just mosey around out on the foot porch and see what's happened. So he walked out on the roof of the house, and he walked somewhere where he didn't have no business walking. The first thing the devil do is get you to stay out.
Right.
And then he'll tell you to go somewhere where you ain't got no business going,
Amen.
And your feet's going to get dirty. And brother, he walked in this way, and his feet got dirty, walked up on the roof. And to make a long story short, he saw Bathsheba over yonder taking a bath. And brother, he looked at her, and he desired to have her. This traveler came by, this lust demon, and it got on him, and he had something to give that traveler. And so he says, there's what I'll give that traveler, laying right over yonder, taking a bath. And his sin, he went over there. This is wickedness come up in the king's heart. Now, friend, I'll tell you what kind of people this happens to. David was a mighty man of God,
Amen.
Friend. David had slew the giant. Brother David, brother, had fought all kinds of battles. But there's something about when a Christian really has victory and really does good for a while that the devil will come to him and say, well, you've worked hard all these years. Won't you just slack off a little bit?
Amen.
Why, you've won people to God. Why don't you just take it easy for a little while? You've done good all these years. Why don't you just one little sin ain't going to hurt nobody. Try it once in a while. And brother, he had this woman brought unto him, and she came to him, and he committed adultery with her. He wasn't his wife. He didn't have no business met with her, looking at her, touching her, or nothing else. And let me say, you men tonight, you ain't got no business doing it either.
Amen.
You ain't got no business messing with another man's wife, touching her, or even holding her hand
Amen.
In a sensual way. You can shake hands, but for this little hand-holding, neck-hugging stuff between opposites, brother, a lot of it's going to go.
Amen.
That's
right.
Just as sure as you live. Start handling each other and being around each other, there'll be some devil come in there.
Amen.
But I want you to know tonight, brother.
Amen. Go ahead.
That he, you know, a man, if you're not married to a woman, you should never be seen alone with her.
Right. Amen.
You say, well, she's my sister. I can't help it. She is. There's worse things than that happen between brothers and sisters. And it's right here. You're not married to a man, you should never be seen alone with her. You can't help it many times. I know you might have car trouble or something like that there, but as a rule, don't be hanging around somebody you're not married to that's opposite from you are.
Amen.
And brother, the Bible said that David had this woman to him, committed this sin, and she, of course, became with child, and because of this, David needed a foot washing. David needed his feet cleaned, brother. If he hadn't walked around out there, it would never happen. If he'd been out there fighting the battle, it would never happen.
Amen.
If he hadn't had cold feet, it would never happen. If he hadn't been had dirty feet and washing something he shouldn't have washed, you might represent this as a television program or something like that. You lay out of church, you got cold feet, you watch a television program, it's got sin in it, it calls you to sin.
Right.
Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, that's exactly how the devil works.
Amen.
And I'm preaching you tonight because the devil's real. And I'm preaching you tonight because he's your adversary and he's trying to devour each one of you, and I don't want to see him get a one of you.
Amen.
Amen.
I told the Lord before the church, not long after we started, that my job was to preach when I seen the devil coming in. And if my job is the sword, anytime I see his head popping up in the church, just to whack at it with the sword, Lord of God. And brother, that's what, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to try to do by his grace. My dear friend, the devil will try to tempt you. You'll say, well, I just don't see it. It seems like it's important. You better mark it down, brother. You get to thinking you're standing, you're getting ready to fall.
Amen.
You get to thinking right. You can't be tempted. You just think it's all right. You lay out. You're strong enough. You're heading for a downfall.
Amen.
You're sitting there because you're no match for him. He'll knock your feet out from under you and have you flat on your back spiritually. He had dirty feet. He needed a spiritual foot washing. Now, the first thing to get dirty about you is your feet.
Right.
The first thing to get cold about you is your feet. And the first thing to get dirty about you is your feet. Then you men come in, and what the wife said, you going to take a bath tonight, honey? But no, I have one the other day. I don't really need one tonight. And you know, you're not really dirty enough to take a bath, but you feel a little dirty, so you just get your pants, go inside the bathtub, and wash your feet. And you feel clean after that. You're not really dirty enough to take a bath, but you're a little bit dirty. And usually it's just after you get your feet clean, you feel all right. And you go ahead, you know, you see these guys, I personally don't ever do this, but you see these guys get the little pan out, hot soapy water, and sit there with their feet in it and let them bathe for a little while before they go to bed at night. They might have corns or something or ingrown toenails, and they have to have those things bathed, and they have to, you know, wash them every night. We wouldn't hurt every bit of us tonight, every day, to wash our feet spiritually.
Amen.
Because if you can keep your feet warm, you'll be warm all over.
Amen.
And if you can keep your feet clean, you'll be clean all over.
Right.
Take your Bible, turn to the book of St. John chapter 13. We give you a verse of scripture. John chapter 13, I want to read you what the Word of God said. And this, of course, being a spiritual manner too, but I believe it illustrates the point that we're trying to make. John chapter 13, when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, and he came to Peter, and Peter said, you ain't going to wash me. And he said, if you don't, you know, I ain't going to have no part with you. Let's just read it together. Verse 6, John chapter 13, verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Jesus answered and said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus answered him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Simon Peter said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.
Amen.
Stop up there just a minute. See, Peter, he come to Peter, and he said, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter said, no, Lord, I can't let you wash my feet. He said, Peter, if I don't wash you, you ain't got no part in me. And he said, well, in that case, wash me all over, my hands, my feet, my head, everything. But don't you look at what Jesus told him in verse 10. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhere. Peter, he said, Peter, when you get your feet clean, you're clean all over. He said, Peter, if your feet's all right, you'll be all right. He said, Peter, there ain't no use to me washing your hands. There ain't no use to me washing your head. If you get your feet clean, brother, you'll be clean everywhere all over. Now, spirit with it out, that tells me and you this. There ain't no use in you saying, well, I pray for me that I read my Bible more. Well, pray for me that I'll do this more. You keep your feet clean, brother, and you'll be clean all over. You keep your feet warm, and you'll be warm all over. That means, say this prayer, little feet, be careful where you take me to.
Amen.
Everything for Jesus, or let me do. There's a lot of people that's sitting here tonight that the reason you can't rejoice, the reason when Sister Dot shouted a while ago, the reason you didn't see nothing in it, probably is because, brother, that you have been going places you shouldn't have been going, doing things you shouldn't have been doing, because if you got clean feet, you won't go to the theater. If you got clean feet, you won't go to the place of the world where the devil's crowd is. Brother, if you got clean feet, you'll be clean all over.
That's right.
Amen.
So I was laughing if you said that. So how in the world you, and somebody don't tell you about it, how you ever going to get help? How you ever improve?
Amen.
Keep your feet clean, you'll be clean all over. Keep your feet warm, and you'll be warm all over. Don't let your feet get cold on God. Don't let your feet get dirty on God. Keep them clean. And so David needed a foot washer. And you know what he told Uriah? He called Uriah in there and he said, Uriah, how's the battle doing? Hypocrite. And he said, Uriah, how's the battle doing? And he said, I just wanted to know how everything was going. He had in the back of his mind, he's going to have that man killed. And he said, you're going to stay at home tonight, Uriah, like his friend. And you know, they're always trying to blame it on somebody. Look what David told Uriah in verse 8. David said to Uriah, go down to thy house and wash thy feet. Son, he's the one that needs the football. He didn't have no business telling Uriah nothing.
Right.
Uriah was more righteous than he was.
Amen.
In this story. Have you ever smelled somebody's feet that ain't been washed about 6 months? Spiritually, that's what God thinks about a person that lays out of the work of God.
Amen.
That's why you smell to God tonight if you're out.
Right.
Well, you can't stand me around them. I remember once over the whole team in high school, some of those guys wore the same pair of socks all year long. And actually sweating those things, and they get real dirty, both tennis shoes turn the bottoms of them black. Now, if they get black, they get hard. And brother, they'd take them things off you like a cat. And they'd be so stiff. They'd have those socks worn so long that when you walk in the dressing room honest, you could stand it, it'd like to knock you down. And you couldn't really stand it, they got their shoes on and covered them things up. Now that's how God smells spiritually tonight, the people that lay out of church and lay out the work of God. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
It smells sickness, it stinks, it's a stink to the nose and the nostril of God.
Amen.
So you say, well, you know, there's a lot of people, all they wouldn't let their physical body get, they wouldn't dare come to church without their hair comb. They wouldn't dare come to church without all this, you know, everything, their shoes just right, matching their dress, all of that stuff. But brother, they come to church with stinking feet and runs everybody out of church.
Amen.
Right. Spiritually speaking, people can't stand to be around. Right. So they went, well, there's old man that lays out all the time. What made him decide to come out?
Amen.
What made him decide to come this morning? Spiritually, you stink in the eyes and the nostrils of God. Whether he had dirty feet, he had cold feet. We're going to learn a lesson from Uriah and a lesson from nothing to bring you to a close. Uriah, I believe in this scripture was more righteous, as I said a while ago, than David was. We learned a great lesson about this man Uriah. Look at verse 9. But Uriah slept at the door of his house with all the servants of his Lord and went not down to his house. Now he could have went home and had him a vacation there. But he slept at the king's house. And when they told David, Uriah went not down, saying, Uriah went not down to his house, David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go home into thine house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah and the servants of my Lord are encamped in the open fields. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and drink, while I and my wife, as thy soul liveth, as thou livest, and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. We learn a lesson from Uriah here. That was a mark of character, brother, in this man. This man, he come down there, and he could have went home and spent the night, and there would have been nothing said to him by anybody. But there was something about this man who had character. This man had such dignity that he would not even go sleep in his bed knowing that his brothers and his sisters and his fellow servants was out there in the battlefield fighting. Brother, that's dignity. I'd like to have a church full like that.
Amen.
I'd like to have this church packed full, all out through yonder, all down through yonder, of people like that. You talk about getting something done,
amen,
you could get something done. I mean, people that said, well, I'm not able to go tonight because this happened, or I got called off on a journey or something like that, but I ain't even going to eat knowing that my brothers and sisters are eating or not eating. I ain't even going to sit down and anoint my eyes and take me a good bath or whatever and not sleep knowing that my brothers and sisters are at the house of God praying.
Amen.
I ain't going to do this thing. I've got too much love for them. He was dedicated to them. He said, even if you let me go home to my house, even if you let me sleep in my bed, I know that Joab's out the field. I know that they're out under in the open field, and I can't go in and lay down on my bed and my conscience not bothering me, knowing that my brothers are out under fighting the battle.
Amen.
That represents tonight, I don't see how church people can stay up while their brothers and sisters out fighting the battle, folks. I just don't see how it can be done. Nathan or Uriah learned us a lesson. He wouldn't indulge in his luxuries when he knew his brothers were war.
Amen.
Don't you wish we had some Christians like that? Fighting on those Christians today. They'll say, well, they'll have another visitation now. There ain't no use in me going.
Mm-hmm.
They're going to go out and eat supper somewhere or something like that. I always embarrass them when I pass them on the road somewhere where I'm visiting. And it bothers them, you know. Uriah said, if I know my brothers are out there fighting a battle, I can't stand it unless I'm out there with them.
Amen.
I'll not do what you're telling me today. All right, we're going to go on tonight. Heard a little this. Some of you got mad at that, maybe. It's proof anyhow.
Amen.
And brother, we're telling you tonight that we learned a lesson from Nathan. We're learning a lesson from Nathan. Now, if you study these Bible characters, it'll make you a Christian, friend. You say, well, I know so-and-so goes in other churches and they don't do it. You're not to go by so-and-so.
Amen.
God didn't tell us to look at the other churches and do like they did. He said, do like the Bible says.
Amen.
And you take the Bible characters and Christian Bible teachings, and you'll be all right in the sight of God, and not just in the sight of the denomination or the sight of men. And brother, didn't we learn a lesson? How that David put Uriah, he said, put Uriah out there in the heart of the battle. Let him stand on the front line. I want that man in. And Uriah, of course, got killed, and Bathsheba mourned for him a little while, and he had, the Bible said that he had Bathsheba brought to him after her mourning days were over, and he took her to be his wife. And when the Bible said that the Lord laid on the servant heart of man by the name of Nathan to come and rebuke David for what he had done. And brother, the Bible said the thing that David done displeased the Lord. He had it hid from everybody. Nobody didn't know what was going on but him. But God knew what was going on. Let me tell you tonight, God knows what's going on in your life too. And in my life. He knows whether you're able or not. He knows whether you're dedicated or not. He knows what you really do. He knows where you really go. You can come up here and you can sing in the choir, or you can teach a class, or you can play an instrument, or you can you can do anything in the house of God, or maybe you just come and sit and you act like everything's all right when you shake my hand. I want you to know, brother, there's one that watches you.
Amen.
When you're on the outside of the church door,
that's
and
right.
Every place you go,
amen,
every word you speak,
that's
every
right.
Plenty to say.
Yes, sir.
Marking it down. He sent Nathan to David. And Nathan came to David, and he said, David, got a little story I want to tell you. There was a rich man that needed something. And there was a poor man that didn't have but one little old lamb. And you know what that rich man done? He had all them lambs out there. And he took that poor man's one little lamb and gave it to his traveler. And David said, a man like that needs to be killed. Let him die. Nathan said, thou art the man. You're the one that did it. Because the Lord blessed you and give you all of this stuff. And poor old Uriah didn't have but that one wife, and you took her from him and had him killed. Can you imagine how David felt? Him trying to play righteous and everything, and all of a sudden that thing come out on him like that? Another good example of Numbers 32, be sure your sin will find you out.
Right.
You can have it hid for a little while, but it'll come out right in front of everybody one day. Now, we look at this tonight with the spiritual eye of this thing also, apply it to the church. What would the average church do? And I'm speaking of the average church. I'm not just talking to New Manna. I'm not just talking to Sunny Bell. I'm not talking to some of these other churches that may be represented here. I'm talking about the average church. The average so-called, soul-winning, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing so-called church. Now, what if you went into the average church today, and you got up there and you said, folks, I mean, you didn't come to preach or anything. You just come in for life of the service and you said, folks, I got something to say. I got something to say. Down here in this community, there's a group of people and we're meeting and they meet every week. And he said, these people are the meanest people that you've ever seen in your life. He said, these people, there was a house next door that they had rented to some people. And he said, and I got up there before that church, and I said, folks, I just heard it on the news. I got to tell you something. They lived, this group of people, they lived beside this house, and a woman and some babies lived in this house. And it was locked on the outside, and they had the key to it. And the house caught on fire, and the little babies were screaming. And the mother was saying, get my babies out of here. Help me. Get me out of here. And he was screaming out the window. But the people that were meeting next door just turned their head and act like they didn't hear and act like they didn't see. You know what the church would say? They'd say, well, a bunch of people like that on an electric chair.
Amen.
Anybody would let their boys and girls die like that in the fire. They ought to be killed. They ain't fit to shoot. Brother, I say unto you tonight, thou art the people.
Amen.
We're the ones that are sitting by while the world goes to hell.
Amen.
We're the ones that are twiddling our thumbs and reading our prayer books and singing our praise songs and doing this and giving our little toss and our shine group while men, women, boys, and girls in sin are screaming and begging for somebody to help them. I say unto thee tonight, thou art the people.
Amen.
That's God's message to us tonight. How can we sit idly by while men, women, boys, and girls scream and beg for someone to come and tell them about Jesus?
Amen.
Brother, how can we do it? We're a wicked bunch of people.
Right.
We're a sorry bunch of people. Right. We're a low-down bunch of people.
Amen.
I know tonight you say, well, I thought we were doing pretty good. We are compared to the world standard. But I want you to know, what does God think about us tonight?
That's right, brother.
And I'm telling you, not every one of us ought to get our feet hot for God.
Amen.
Every one of us ought to get our feet warm for God.
Amen.
And say, I don't care what anybody says,
bless
what anybody thinks. I'm going to go see and rescue the perishing, care for the dying. I ain't going to let my feet get cold on God. I ain't going to let my feet get dirty on God. I've got my feet washed tonight, Brother Eddie. I've got my feet warm tonight. You just show me the first person I see that needs to be witness to. I'm going to talk to him. I ain't going to sit by and let him die and go to hell. By God's grace, I'm going to have me a spiritual foot washing tonight.
Amen.
Turn the Bible to Romans chapter 10. We'll give you a verse and we're going to close. Romans chapter 10. How to have pretty feet. How to have pretty feet. Verse 14. Now, this of course is talking about preachers, but men, women, boys, and girls are in a sense preaching the gospel when they witness to a person. Now, I know that women ain't supposed to preach in the church. I know that women ain't supposed to take authority over the church or speak to the men and bear some authority over them. But I'm telling you tonight, brother, that women and men and boys and girls are to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ on an individual basis, one to one. Nobody's exempt. Nobody. You can't show me anyone in the Bible where it says that they are. You know, the Bible always talks about, usually, the Bible is addressed, and we've covered this before on Sunday night and talked about it. The Bible, no, usually the epistles are addressed to the brethren of the church. That's who it was actually addressed to, because they were in charge and they were over the thing. And directly it was to the men. But the men were to take it and read it to the whole church. He said, read it to the whole church. And those teachings in that epistle, everybody in the whole church is supposed to follow. Sure. That includes men, women, boys, and girls, little kids even. It's to the whole church, everybody that's born again. And the Bible usually talks to the brethren, and if it's got something specifically to say to the women, he'll say, let your women do this, or let your women do that, or tell your women not to do this, or tell your women not to do that. You can't show me anywhere in the Bible where it says for a woman not to witness. Or a child, or a boy, or a girl, you kids that go to school, don't pack it all off on the preacher and the men. It's every child of God's duty. And my dear friends, tonight, keep your feet clean. Is keep them clean. Go to the right places. Stay away from the worldly places. Stay away from them. You say, well, I went to see a good, clean Christian movie. Yeah, but you know what? That $2 you give to that Christian movie, you're sponsored that X-rated one next
week. Amen. Right.
That's right. Anything put out to Hollywood ain't clean, no. I guarantee you they'll put a bunch of love and filth in it.
Amen.
Lust, brother. Brother, I'm here to tell you tonight, keep your feet clean.
Let's see.
If you want God to use you, God will use your dirty feet. Oh, you may be talented. You may be able to do this or that. God won't bless it.
Right.
He won't. If God blesses clean women, clean women. You say, I heard a preacher and he said, well, I don't care what he says.
Amen.
God won't bless clean, unclean women.
Right. Right.
Got to be clean. And then you got to keep them warm. And here's how to have pretty feet. How shall they then call upon them? In verse 14, Romans chapter 10, in whom they have not believed. How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Bible says, shod up with the preparation of the gospel. You know what? A bunch of people in this church tonight need to get you gospel shoes.
Amen.
You got it. You girls ain't got nothing to tell them. The gospel's what we need. Get you gospel shoes on. Read that gospel. Matthew, Mark, John, the epistles. Read them. Get your shoes on. Be ready at an instant to witness on the spot. The hitchhiker, whoever it might be. The man at the grocery store, the man at the filling station, put him in the gas, get him a crack. Be ready, brother. Have your gospel shoes on.
Amen.
You may be here tonight and you've got dirty feet and you need to get them clean. You may be here tonight and you've got cold feet and you need to get them warmed up again. We're going to give you a chance to do it. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Friend, we've not got long to work for Jesus. While his about and eyes are closed, and Brother Gene comes, and he gets his song ready, we're going to give you an invitation. You say, not me, I couldn't talk to nobody. Yes, you can. You say, well, I don't know a lot. Oh, you got to know. Jesus saved me, he saved you. Not tonight. Or maybe your problem's completely different tonight. Maybe you've got dirty feet. You've been hanging around places you ain't been hanging. You ain't got to be hanging.
Thank you.
The book of 2 Samuel, chapter 11. If you don't have a Bible, maybe somebody next to you does. So I'm going to share it with you so that we can all read y'all the book together. 2 Samuel, chapter 11. This is a chapter I've heard, sure you've heard of, or most of you've read it, maybe not, haven't been saved long, but you've probably heard of the great sin that David, the servant of God, committed against the Lord. It's a sad story, knowing that David was a man after God's own heart, knowing that David was a man that God used, sweet psalmist of Israel, man that God used greatly in service, but he committed a sin against the Lord.
Right.
Now, among other things, we'll notice in this chapter, we'll notice that there's nobody too close to be tempted. There's nobody too righteous that they cannot fall. All in the flesh and subject to temptation and pride. Right. And as long as you're living in that body you're living in right now, and I'm in this one, you are going to be subject to temptation. But that's not what we're mainly going to deal with tonight. We're going to deal with a subject the Lord dealt with me back some years ago. And I'm only, maybe read this scripture in a church as this that we're going through tonight. Only one other time before this, about 3 or 4 years ago, the Lord dealing with me about bringing it back and mention it again. And this will be what we'll look at tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 11, verse 1. You know, this is a story where David commits adultery, and he's God judging for it, had to pay for it. But we will look at something tonight, and I hope that the Lord will speak to us to it. Verse 1. And it came to pass, after the year was expired, at the time when the kings go forth to battle, that David sent Joab, a servant, with him, and all Israel. And they destroyed the children of Ammon, and besieged Rabbah. But David tarried still at Jerusalem. There's his mistake right there. Verse 2. To pass in an eventide, that David arose from off his bed, and walked upon the roof of the king's house. And from the roof he saw a woman washing herself. And the woman was very beautiful to look upon. And David sent and inquired after the woman. And one said, "This is Bathsheba, the daughter of Eliam, the wife of Uriah the Hittite." And David sent messengers and took her, and she came in unto him, and he lay with her. For she was purified from her uncleanness. And she returned, and the woman conceived, and sent and told David, and said, "I am with child." And David sent to Joab, saying, "Send me Uriah the Hittite." And Joab, that's that woman's husband, and Joab sent Uriah to David. And when Uriah was come, David demanded of him how Joab did, and how the people did, and how the war prospered. And David said to Uriah, "Go down to thy house and wash thy feet." And Uriah departed out of the king's house, and there followed him a mess of meat from the king. He slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord, and went not down to his house. Now stop right there just a second. Hope you're getting this. He called Uriah, the husband of this woman Bathsheba, out of the battles. And he said, "How's the war?" And he said, "Well, you know, it's doing pretty good." And he got down there, and he got down there to David's house, and he said, "You go spend the night at your house tonight." But Uriah didn't do it. He slept at the door of the king's house. He stayed at his door. And verse 10, when they had come in, Uriah went not down unto his house. David said unto Uriah, "Camest thou not from thy journey? And why then didst thou not go down unto thine house?" And Uriah said unto David, "The ark and Israel and abide in tents. And my lord Joab and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and to drink and lie with my wife? As thou livest, thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing." And David said to Uriah, "Tarry here today, and tomorrow I will let thee depart." So Uriah abode in Jerusalem that day and tomorrow. All right, and then we're going to stop right there just a minute. You know, had this man Uriah put on the front line of the battle so that he would be killed. David wanted him to get killed so he could have this woman. And brother, he got, you know, it's another man's wife,
and he called her husband in from battle, and he had that man put on the front of the battle. He would get killed real quick so he could have his wife. But he didn't get away with it. Because in verse 27 of the same chapter, or verse 26, and when the wife of Uli heard that her husband was dead, she mourned for him. And when the mourning was past, David sent and fetched her to his house, and she became his wife, and bare him a son. But the thing that David had done displeased the Lord. And then in verse 12, chapter 1, and the Lord came unto David, Nathan the prophet, and he came unto him, and said unto him, there were two men in one city. Now, I want you to get this tonight. Nathan speaks to David by means of a parable. And brother, every time one of God's men gets out of line, their children gets out of line, I believe God sends them a message.
Amen.
That's the first thing he does. He'll lay it on one of the preacher's heart for somebody to bring you a message. If a man's out here backslid or something, God will put it on somebody's heart to take him a message.
Right.
And listen
Amen.
To this message of wisdom in this thing. Mm-hmm. Listen to the great spiritual application that Nathan gave this story to David. Verse 2, or verse, last part of verse 1. There were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat, and drink of his own cup, and lay in his bosom, and was as a daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man. Now that traveler would represent the lust that came to David. There came a traveler, brother, that came to the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock. He didn't pay his to feed this traveler, this lust that came along, which is what we represent. And he didn't take it of his own flock and his own herd. He had plenty of wives and concubines and all to dress for the wayfaring man that was coming to him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was coming to him. And David's anger, when he heard that somebody does something like that, he was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, as the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die. And he shall restore the lamb, because he did this thing, and because he hath no pity. And Nathan said unto David, thou art the man. Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee, Lord, king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul. And I gave his house, and thine master's wives under thy bosom, gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. And if that had been too little, I would moreover have given you thee such and such things. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite, and hast taken his wife to be thy wife, and slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. Now therefore the sword shall never depart from thine house, because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. And of course you know that the child went on and he had an illness to David, fasted and prayed, and it died. But I want to look back at the 11th chapter tonight, take the subject from. Well, I remember telling you a minute ago in verse number 1, the kings went out to battle, and David didn't go. David would have went with him. He'd been out there where he was supposed to be. This thing would have never happened.
Amen.
But he tagged still at Jerusalem. And then he done something else in verse 2, and he walked out on the corner. If I'm going to use this in spiritual application tonight, speak to you about how to have pretty feet. How to have pretty feet. Or a spiritual foot washing. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer.
Thank you, Lord.
Our Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, for this privilege and opportunity that we have to come to you in prayer. God, to forgive us of everything that we've done. Lord, everything that we've said or thought or anything, Lord, that would hinder us from being what you'd have us to be tonight, we pray that you would forgive us. Our Father, tonight, Lord, as we bow before you, we realize, Lord, our helplessness. We realize tonight, Lord, that in our flesh we are nothing. But Lord, we're so glad, Lord, that you come to be our helper. We're so glad, Lord, and thanks for Calvary, we're not what we used to be. We're so glad tonight, Father, for the Word of God that is our heart. And I pray tonight, Heavenly Father, as we look into this scripture, Lord, that you speak to men, women, boys, and girls, that we be a challenge group of Christians when we leave this place tonight. God, I pray, Lord, that you open the scriptures. Open our minds and our hearts and special anointing, illuminate our minds, loose our tongues, and not defy your word with power and authority tonight. Lord, I pray, God, that you cut down any ring of pride, anger, devil, wrath, immorality, anything that would enter this service. God, I pray that it's confessed right now, and the blood of Jesus has taken it away. God bless this service tonight. Speak to the hearts of these people here. If there's one here that's not saved, save them tonight, Father. And if there be those here that are walking in guilty pictures, Lord, that be washed, I pray, Lord, that they'll get it done tonight. And Lord, it's accomplished. We praise and thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. After looking at this story tonight, I hope that the Lord will open your eyes and hearts and give you understanding of this thing. Talk to you about having pretty feet. Having pretty feet, or a spiritual foot washing. Now, of course, we want to talk about this in the, you ought to know, I guess, that this is in the spiritual sense, that David had got himself in big trouble. Right. I mean, there's just a couple of things that got David in this trouble. Now, I'll already mention them briefly. We'll do this right quickly and briefly tonight. And trust the Lord to drive the message home in your heart. You know, a lot of times when people stand to preach, or whether it's in this church or some other church, a lot of people got the idea that, well, it's just another service, and it's another time to go to church. It'll be over in a little while, and then we'll go. But friends, ever since I got saved, I've always took going to church more serious than that.
Amen.
I mean that every time we come to the house of God, and that people give the Lord control, and He takes over, that there is a message for somebody in the congregation.
Right.
I believe there's a purpose in it. I believe there's a reason many times, even for the songs that's sung, for the way the prayers are prayed,
Amen.
I believe it's to touch or to minister to some individual.
Right.
And friends, I believe that if there's anything that Baptist churches, Methodist churches, and Pentecostal churches and Presbyterian churches need nowadays, it's a good old foot washing.
Amen.
I'm not necessarily talking about a regular foot washing. A lot of times they wash their literal feet and spiritual feet dirty and what
Amen.
Really needs to be washed. And so I'm talking about a spiritual foot washing tonight, and I hope that you'll get the message. Now we know tonight that your feet is what takes you where that you go.
Amen.
In other words, you have these little kids get up and they say, "Little feet, be careful where you take me to. Anything for Jesus, only let me do." Now there's a lot of truth in that thing, friend. There have been a lot of young men that have not gotten trouble, gotten jail, gotten prison, and even some of them went to hell, had they not let their feet take them to somewhere that they shouldn't be.
Amen.
And there's a lot of people that have gotten big trouble because they didn't walk and go somewhere when they should have walked. And David was guilty of both of these things tonight, and we're going to look at it from the Word of God. First of all, tonight, we see that how the king was going forth to battle. It was a certain time in verse 1 when the kings would go forth to battle. I mean, the kings, whether they get their armies up and they get all those things, they said, "Okay, boys, it's time to go fight." Now, David, before this chapter, what I've read to you tonight, was always a mighty warrior. David was always a man that fought his own battle. David was always a man that nobody, he didn't have to ask nobody to take up for him, or he'd do his fighting himself. But you know, many times it's in a case like this that a person that's a good soldier of the Lord and really does good for a while will seemingly get cold feet on the Lord
Amen.
And carry still and not go forth unto battle.
That's right.
Churches are full of people tonight that just come to the house of God and just sit. And some of them don't
Amen.
Even come. But some of them just come and just sit and never bow fire and fight the battle. And they never go when the kings go forth to fight the battle. The Bible said that David sent Joab. He sent somebody else to do his job. He said, "Oh, you can do it just as good as I can. I'm resigning. I don't plan to do it this time. You go ahead and take my place." My friends tonight, you could bring in all kinds of stuff on this tonight. We're not going to take a whole lot of time on it. But I don't believe tonight that God's going to tell you to quit doing something unless He's got something else that He wants you to be doing. Now, there's a lot of people that they'll be maybe a Sunday school preacher for a year or so, and they'll say, "Well, I'm led to quit." and they just quit and sit down and not do nothing. But brother, I personally don't believe God's going to tell you to quit something if he got something else he wants you to be doing.
Amen.
God don't call quitters, brother.
That's
he
right.
Don't call people that lay down
right.
And just quit. He wants somebody that will stick it out and fight the battle. And friends, tonight, David was guilty of this thing. When he should have been on the battlefield, he stayed at home.
Right.
Now, friends, I'm going to let this represent tonight. First of all, he had cold feet. He had cold feet, brother. If he had kept on the battlefield and kept moving, his feet would have been warm. But
right.
Because he tarried still at Jerusalem and didn't go fight the battle, friends, he had cold feet. Now, you know that I know tonight that there's a many so-called Christians tonight that have cold feet.
Amen.
I mean, brother, just sit around and froze up on the Lord, and you can't get them to go and fight the battle. And a lot of times they just sit at home when they know their place is in the house of God. And brother, we probably got some here at our church, I'm sure we do. And they probably got some at these other churches that are here. People with cold feet. You know what cold feet will represent tonight? It'll mean that neglecting your duty, knowing you're supposed to be up there doing something, and deliberately sit at home.
Amen.
Now, friend, there is nothing more sickening in the sight of God than cold feet and laziness.
Right.
God doesn't put up with laziness. Now, if you ain't got much talent, then you know you can't help that. If you can't sing like a hummingbird, you can't help that. If you can't get up and quote scripture, you can't get in front of the crowd, then that's not your fault necessarily. But there's one thing, brother, that you can be. If you can't sing, if you can't teach, if you can't preach, you can be faithful.
Amen.
If you can't carry a pen in a bucket, you can be faithful.
Amen.
In
the Bible.
If you can't carry four verses of scripture, you can be faithful. And brother, you're going to hear me as long as you come to this church, brother after the Lord, I'm preaching to you that Christians are to be faithful.
Amen.
To the house of God. Brother, you can get yourself in a lot of trouble by staying at home when you know you ought to be at church.
Amen.
I don't personally see how, it's more than I can understand, how the people can sit at home and just sit there and watch the boot tube or sit there and listen to a record, knowing right then while they're sitting there that the rest of the Christians are at church praying and trying to do something for God.
Amen.
I don't see how they can do it, brother. I don't see. You must not have no conscience. If nothing must not bother you to be able to sit at home and know the rest of your brothers and sisters is trying to work for God.
That's right, brother.
There is a lot of people got cold feet, and you get your feet warmed up.
Amen.
Now you know tonight that the first thing to get cold about a person is their feet. You're out in the winter time, and brother, your feet will be if that wasn't for my feet, I might stand out in the snow. My ears bother me sometimes, or maybe the tips of my fingers, but my feet gets cold, seem like quicker than anything. And they're the hardest thing to get warm you've ever seen in your life.
Right.
It's hard to get your feet warm after you've done them cold. And you better keep them warm. If they're warm tonight, you better keep exercising. You better keep coming. You better keep going.
Right.
Because if
Amen.
Feet gets cold, you're in trouble with the Lord then. Now see, David, this adultery would have never happened. And brother, this child would have never had been born. This man would have never had to lose his life in the battle, and a lot of other things would have never happened had not David had cold feet.
Amen.
And there's a lot of people tonight that sit at home when they ought to be in church, and bad things are going to happen to them, brother, that could have been avoided if they hadn't let their feet get cold on God.
Amen.
Brother, you don't cry to me if your baby gets sick if you lay out of church.
Amen.
When you ought to be here.
Amen.
Don't come crying to me this and that happening when you got good enough health to be here. Oh, you know, I see. Well, there ain't half as many people sick as claims to be.
Amen.
It's pure laziness.
Amen.
Right. My friends, tonight I realize there is something as a person really being sick. I realize there is such a thing when you may be hindered, or maybe they break his arm or something. You have things in the hospital. But you know what? 9 times out of 10, when people lance down the house of God, what's wrong with them? Laziness, brother. Cold feet. The whole truth, nothing but the truth. And if you don't lie, it's a good sign you're guilty. Cold feet caused more people to miss church and get in trouble on God than I guess any other one certain thing. The first thing you get told about the man is his feet. And did you know that if you can keep your feet warm, that you'll be warm all over? If your feet are cold, you'll be cold all over. But if you can just keep your feet warm, you can put on a bunch of big pairs of socks, and you can put two or three pairs of socks on, and a good pair of insulated boots or something. You know, no matter how cold it is, if a person can keep their feet warm, then the cold don't bother them that bad. But when those colds start turning numb, and they start tingling, brother, and the first thing you know, you can't even feel them, and then the next you know, it hurts to even walk, then you're getting in trouble. I remember one time I went up in the woods, and it's been, I guess, right when I was back in school, or right after, and it snowed one morning, and I was going to go squirrel hunting. And I went up there in the woods, and have you ever been in the woods with snow on the ground? It looks completely different than it does when there ain't snow on the ground. I never was too good to have my directions right in the woods anyway. And I went up there one morning, and I was up there, and I thought I knew them woods good, like the back of my hand. Then I went up there, and I saw that snow, it made it look different. And I got to walking around there, and next thing I know, I was going in circles, and my feet got cold, kept getting colder, and colder, and colder, and I thought it was going to freeze off. And I kept walking around, and finally made it out, and I finally got back to the house. And I want you to know, if I put the socks off, you put your feet right over the heat, and it don't seem like it do it, it does a bit of good. And then they're real red and puffed up, and the next thing you know, when they start thawing out, they start itching, and you can't hardly stand it when you're thawing out. Cold feet, friend, is a hard thing to get rid of. And spiritually speaking tonight, cold feet, brother, will keep you from doing what God wants you to do.
Amen.
Cold feet. You know you ought to go, but you just don't go. You know you ought to be there, but you just don't be there. I've been coming on my way to church, and I've seen prominent churches, or church members from other churches, out in their yard mowing their grass at 7:07 on Wednesday night. And I thought, how in the world can they stand up there and mow the grass and the rest of the Christians at church trying to do something for God? I just don't understand how they can do it. Cold feet will get you in trouble, friend. You need to keep them warm. That means make your feet stay warm all the time. Come anyhow. If you don't feel like it, come anyhow. If you're tired, come anyhow. It's a good place to get some rest. We were talking about the Sunday school lesson this morning, and I told that new convert's class, I said, get it settled in your mind. Get it once and for all made up in your mind that you are going to be in the house of God, and you ain't going to let nothing stop you from being in church outside of just something that you can't possibly help. And brother, you show me a person like that, and I'll show you a person that'll stay out of sin and won't backslide. You show me a person that'll lay out, and I'll show you a person that the devil will get in if they only give him enough time and a long enough time. He had cold feet. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night? Then we missed a little soul winning book. Have you ever woke up in the middle of the night and you was cold? And you was about half awake and half asleep, and you couldn't tell where you was cold at. And you start pulling the cover up on your chest, your neck and everything, putting it over you, and your feet were sticking out about that far in the bottom. And brother, you couldn't tell, you was freezing, but you couldn't tell where you was cold at. You couldn't figure it out, you was about in a daze, you know. Well, what you didn't realize is that your feet is what cold. And if you get your feet covered up and get them warm, I remember Linda's worst in the world. She'll stick them things over on me in the middle of the night, in the wintertime, brother, and feel like icebergs out jump, and brother, you can't hardly stand it. But after a person's feet get warm, then my dear friends, their whole body will get warm.
Amen.
If their feet is cold, you're cold all over. I've got in bed in the wintertime, my feet are cold, and it seemed like they just wouldn't get warm. And what I'd be laying there shivering because I couldn't get my feet warm. When me cold, I work set my feet, and I be just a shiver. And that's the same way it is spiritually. There's a lot of Christians, my dear friend, that are saying, well, I believe we need better carpet. I believe this. I'm going to start giving more. And they're trying everything in the world to try to make up for their deadness and their coldness. And it ain't a thing in the world. Their feet just cold.
They
got cold feet on God. And if they start being faithful and start being in the house of God on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, visit, payback, their problems would be over and their feet would warm back up again. And it wouldn't bother them about the carpet. It wouldn't bother them about the ceiling. It wouldn't bother them about the windows. It wouldn't bother them about the parking lot. But they would be warm and they would be warm all over. Now, we ought to have a good place for them. I'm not going to get fixing up the play. Let me do it one of these days. But you show me a person that all they think about is something else and always trying to improve this, improve that, and never go witness and not come to church half the time. That person's got coping.
Amen.
Right.
They're trying to cover up everywhere else, and it's just their feet that's cold. That's right. Now, the first thing to get cold about you is your feet, not your eyes. There's a lot of people that think the way you backslide is quit reading your Bible. Your eyes don't get cold first. Your feet get cold first. And a lot of people think the way you quit praying, the way backslide is quit praying too much. But your knees don't get cold first. Your feet get old first. First thing about you to get cold is your feet. Now, the devil ain't going to come up to you. Let me tell you something, especially you young Christian, you mom and dad, young couple. Let me tell you something, the devil ain't going to come to you and say, won't you just quit church? Hey, are you sure? He probably won't say that, unless you get really stirring yourself. The devil ain't going to come to you necessarily and say, don't never read your Bible.
Amen.
Think Jesus felt like carrying that cross up that hill?
Right.
You think I felt like getting this morning? Staying up for half of the night, 3/4. Brother, it's not a matter of feelings. We can't go by our feelings. We'll never do nothing for God. We gotta keep our feet hot. We gotta be an example to people that are looking for us. We need our feet warm.
Amen.
Right,
brother.
Right.
Well, number two, David had dirty feet. Not only was his feet cold, his feet is dirty. We're going to talk about how to have pretty feet. You know who's got the prettiest feet in this church? People that preach the gospel.
Right.
Them that witness. I'll show you the Bible verse for you in a few minutes. Pretty feet. Have you ever heard somebody just walk up to preacher and say, boy, you got the prettiest feet? That's what they're talking about. How beautiful are the feet of them which preach the gospel and bring glad tidings, you know, of the Lord and the gospel of God. You know, we wear shoes. Why, you don't want to go out barefooted. You don't want to go in walking up and down the hot cement places barefooted. You're supposed to wear your shoes. That's what keeps your feet from getting tore up. That's what keeps your feet from getting burnt on the sidewalk.
Oh, man.
That's what keeps your feet from getting thorn, be stung, and everything else, wearing shoes. Now, there's a lot of people wearing different kinds of shoes. You can look around tonight and see the different kinds of shoes. Some people wear wingtips. In other words, they're ready to fly away at any time. And whether some people, they wear hush puppies. All quietly in, quietly out, never say a word, and never witness, and never tell people about Jesus. And then you could go on and on, at the different kinds of shoes.
Amen.
Right on down to them flip-flop. They just flop in, flop out, and never to nobody. And brother, the Bible says that we are to wear. Somebody tell me what kind of shoes the Bible said for us to wear. Right, the gospel shoes, brother. Have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Amen.
The Woman's Day magazine shot,
not
with a bunch of soap operas. Have the gospel on your shoes, brother. Have your shoes on. Have your feet warm. Get out there and fight the battle.
Right. Amen.
My dear friend David not only had cold feet, number two, he had dirt. 30 feet means he walked somewhere where he didn't have no business of walking.
Amen.
Verse 2. And it came to pass in an even time that David arose from off his bed and walked upon the house. You heard the old saying, idle mind, the devil's workshop. It ain't the Bible, but it's a pretty good saying.
Right.
Here's David. He's supposed to be out there on the fight. He lay there on his bed. And he gets all that energy built up in him. It's funny how that about 6:30 you're tired, you can't stand it. And when you lay out of church, about 7:30, how much you perky and you're ready to go over to mama.
Amen.
You're ready to go to Act Sue. You're ready to go visiting. All these people, brother, they get up on Sunday morning, I got a headache. And they're so pitiful. And they hurt and hurt so bad. And they say, I just don't hardly believe that I can make it. But about 12 o'clock, they start easing off.
Right.
And they ride around
Amen.
All over the mountains on Sunday evening.
Amen.
And if you walk here and walk and everything else, and say, well, I need it to make me feel better if I got out of here a little while. And just ride around all evening. And then about 6:30, hit me again. It's coming back.
That's
I just don't believe I can make it. Right? Can't you see the devil in there? The devil's trying to do. Brother, he'll magnify your little infirmity. He'll make you think you're so bad off you just can't hardly make it. But then about church time, when it's everybody's done starting too late to come, it'll ease off and you'll
right.
start feeling
Amen.
Good. By those women that lay out and because they feel so bad and then clean the house the whole time we're up here.
Right.
You can't tell me tonight. I guarantee you it'd be easier to sit there on that padded pew than it would be to iron clothes and wash dishes.
Amen.
And brother, they'll do it. And David is sitting there, back to my story here. David is sitting there, and he's on his bed. And brother, he got to thinking about some things, and he said, I believe I'm feeling better now. I should have been out there at the battle, but I believe I'll been out on the foot porch and see what's happened. So he walks out on the roof of the house, and he walks somewhere where he didn't have no business walking. The first thing the devil do is get you to stay out.
Right.
And then he'll tell you to go somewhere where you ain't got no business. Yep. Your feet's going to get dirty. And brother, he walked in this place, and his feet got dirty. He walked up on the roof. And to make a long story short, he saw Bathsheba over yonder taking a bath. And brother, he looked at her, and he desired to have her. This traveler, the lust demon, and it got on him, and he had something to give that traveler. And so he says, there's what I'll give that traveler, laying right over yonder, taking a bath. And he sinned. He went over there. This was wickedness come up in the king's heart. Now, friend, I'll tell you this happens to. David was a mighty man of God,
Amen.
Friend. David had slew the giant. Brother David, brother, had fought all kinds of battles. But there's something about when a Christian really has victory and really does good for a while, that the devil come to him and say, well, you've worked hard all these, you just slacked off a little bit.
Amen.
Why, you've won people to God. Why don't you just take it easy for a little while? You've done good all these years. Why don't you just want to see it ain't gonna hurt nobody? Try it once in a while. And brother, he had this woman brought unto him, and she came to him, committed adultery with her. He wasn't his wife. He didn't have no business messing with her, looking at her, touching her, or nothing else. And let me say, you men, right, you ain't got no business doing it either.
Amen.
You ain't got no business right. messing with another man's wife, touching her, or even holding
Amen.
A central where you shake hands, but for this little hand holding, cutting neck, hugging stuff between opposites, brother, a lot of it come on.
Amen.
That's why.
Right.
Just as sure as you live, start handling each other and being around each other, they'll come in there.
Amen.
But I want you to know tonight, brother.
Amen. Go ahead.
That he, you know, a man, if you're not married to a woman, you should never be seen alone with her.
Right. Amen.
You say, well, she's my sister. I can't help it. She is. There's that happening between brothers and sisters. And this is what I do. If you're not married to a man, you should never be seen alone with her. You can't help it many times. I know you might have car trouble or something like that there, but as a rule, don't be hanging around somebody you're not married to that's opposite. Brother, the Bible said that David had this woman brought to him, committed this sin, and she, of course, became with child, and because of this, David needed a foot washing. David needed his feet cleaned, brother. If he happened to walk around out there, If you've been out there fighting the battle, it'd never happened.
Amen.
If you hadn't had cold feet, it'd never happened. If you hadn't been had dirty feet and washed them something you shouldn't have washed, you might represent this as a television program or something like that. You lay out of church, you got cold feet, you probably must stop singing music, they called you to sing it.
Right.
Don't look at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, that's exactly how the devil works.
Amen.
Now, I'm preaching to you tonight because the devil's real. And I'm preaching to you tonight because he's there. And he's going to be trying to devour each one of you. And I don't want to see him get away.
Amen.
Amen.
I told the Lord, I told the church not long after we started, that my job was to preach. When I see the devil coming in, my job to take the sword. And anytime I see his head popping up in the church, just to whack at it with the sword.
Amen.
Word of God. And brother, that's what, by the help of the Lord, I'm going to try to do by His grace. My dear friend, the devil will try to tempt you. You'll say, well, I just don't set in order. You better mark it down, brother. You get to thinking you're standing, you're getting ready to fall.
Amen.
You get to thinking you can't be tempted. You just think it's all right if you lay out. You're strong enough. You're heading for a downfall.
Amen.
You're sitting there because you're no match for him. He'll not come under you and have you flat on your back spiritually. He had dirty feet. He needed a spiritual foot washing. Now, the first thing to get dirty about you is your feet.
Right.
The first thing to get cold about you is your feet. The first thing to get dirty about you is your feet. Then you men come in, and what the wife said, you going to take a bath tonight, honey? But no, I had one the other day. I don't really need one tonight. And you know, you're not really dirty enough to take, but you feel a little dirty, so you just get your pants, get on the side of the bathtub, and wash your feet. And you feel clean after that. You're not really dirty enough to take a bath, but you're a little bit dirty. And usually it's just that you get your feet clean, you feel all right. And you go ahead, you know, I personally don't ever do this, but you see these guys get their little pan out, hot soapy water, and sit there with their feet in it and let them bathe for a little while before they go to bed at night. They might have corns or something or ingrown toenails, and they have to have those things, and they have to, you know, wash them every night. We wouldn't hurt every bit of us tonight, every day, to wash our feet spiritually.
Amen.
Because if you can keep your feet warm, you'll be warm all over.
Amen.
And if you can keep your feet clean, you'll be clean all over.
Right.
Take you to St. John chapter 13. We give you a verse of scripture. John chapter 13, I'm going to read you what the Word of God said. And this, of course, being a spiritual manner too, but I believe it illustrates the point that we're trying to make. John chapter 13, when Jesus was washing the disciples' feet, Peter said, you ain't going to wash me. And he said, I ain't going to have no part with you. Let's just read it together. Verse 6. John chapter 13, verse 6. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, dost thou wash my feet? Said unto him, what I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter saith unto him, thou shalt never wash my feet. And Jesus said to him, if I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. Said unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head.
Amen.
Stop up there just a minute. See, Peter, he come to Peter, and he said, I'm going to wash your feet. And Peter said, no, Lord, I can't let you wash my feet. And he said, Peter, if I don't wash you, you ain't got no part in me. And he said, well, I'm all over my hands, my feet, my head, everything. But don't you look at what Jesus told him in verse 10. Jesus saith unto him, he that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean everywhere. Peter, when you get your feet clean, you're clean all over. He said, Peter, if your feet's all right, you'll be all right. He said, Peter, ain't no use to me washing your hands. There ain't no use to me washing your head. If you get your feet clean, brother, you'll be clean.
Amen.
Now, spiritually tonight, that tells me and you this. There ain't no use in you saying, well, I pray for me that I read my Bible more. Or pray for me that I'll do this more. I'll do that more. You keep your feet clean, brother, and you'll be clean all. If your feet warm and you'll be warm all over. That means, say this prayer, little feet, be careful where you take me to.
Amen.
Everything for Jesus, only let me do. There's a lot of people that's sitting here tonight that the reason you can't rejoice, when Sister Doc shouted a while ago, the reason you didn't see nothing in it, probably is because, brother, that you have been going places you shouldn't have been going, doing things you shouldn't have been doing, because if you got clean feet, you won't go to the theater. If you got clean feet, you won't go to the place where the devil's crowd is. Brother, if you got clean feet, you'll be clean off.
That's right.
Amen.
Amen. Well, I was liking it when you said that. But how in the world you, and somebody don't tell you about it, how you ever going to get help?
Right. Amen.
Keep your feet clean, you'll be clean all over. Keep your feet warm, and you'll be warm all over.
Right.
Don't let your feet get cold on God. Don't let your feet get dirty on God. Keep them clean.
And so David needed a foot washer. And you know what he told Uriah? He called Uriah down and said, Uriah, how's the battle doing? Hypocrite. And he said, Uriah, how's the battle doing? And he said, I just wanted to know how everything was going. He had in the back of his mind, he's going to have that man killed. And he said, you're going to get to stay at home tonight, Uriah, like his friend. And you know, they're always trying to blame it on somebody. Look at what David told Uriah in verse 8. David said, my house and wash thy feet. Son, he's the one who needs the football. He didn't have no business telling Uriah nothing.
Right.
Uriah was more righteous than he was.
Amen.
In this story. Have you ever smelled somebody's feet that ain't been washed about 6 months? Spiritually, that's what God thinks about a person that lays out of the work of God.
Amen.
That's why you smell to God tonight if you lay out.
Right.
You can't stand me around them. I remember when we were ball team in high school, and those guys wore the same pair of socks all year long. And after you sweat in those things, and they get real dirty, ball those tennis shoes turn the bottoms of them black. And after they get black, they get hard. And brother, they take them things off just like a cat. And they'd be so stiff. They'd have those socks worn so long that when you walked in the dressing room, honest, you couldn't stand it. They'd like to knock you down. And you couldn't really stand it. They got their shoes on and covered them things up. Now that's how God, spiritually tonight, the people that lay out of church and lay out the work of God, amen, amen.
Amen.
It smells sickness, it stinks, it's a stink to the nose and the nostril of God.
Amen.
Well, you say, well, you know, they wouldn't let their physical body get, they wouldn't dare come to church without their hair comb, they wouldn't dare come to church without all this, you know, everything, their shoes just right, matching their dress, all of that stuff. But brother, they come to church with stinking feet that runs everybody out of church.
Amen.
It was speaking, people can't stand to be around. Wow. So they went, well, there's old man that lays out all the time. What made him decide to come tonight?
Amen.
What made him decide to come this morning? Spiritually, you stink in the eyes and the nostrils of God. Whether he had dirty feet, cold feet. We're going to learn a lesson from Uriah and a lesson from Nathan to bring you to a close. Uriah, I believe in this scripture, was more righteous, as I said a while ago, than David was. We learn a great man, Uriah. Look at verse 9. But Uriah slept at the door of the king's house with all the servants of his lord and went not down in his house. Now, he could have went home and had him a vacation there. But he slept at the king's house. David, Uriah went not down, saying, Uriah went not down to his house. David said unto Uriah, camest thou not from thy journey? Why then didst thou not go home into thine house? And Uriah said unto David, the ark and Israel and Judah and the servants of my lord are encamped in the open field. Shall I then go into mine house to eat and drink, while I and my wife, as my, thy soul liveth, as thou livest, and as thy soul liveth, I will not do this thing. We learn a lesson from Uriah here. That was a mark of character, brother,
amen,
in this man. He come down there, and he could have went home and spent the night, and there would have been nothing said to him by anybody. But there was something about this man had character. This man had such dignity that he would not even go sleep in his bed knowing that his brothers and his sisters and his fellow servants was out yonder in the battlefield,
amen,
a fighting.
Brother, that's dignity. I'd like to have a church full like that.
Amen.
I'd like to have this church packed full, all out too young, and all done too young. People like that, you talk about it,
amen,
you could get something done. I mean, people that said, well, I'm not able to go tonight because this happened, or I got thrown off on a journey or something like that, but I ain't even going to eat knowing that my brothers and sisters are eating or not eating. I ain't even going to go to sit down in my eyes and take me a good bath or whatever, a good night's sleep, knowing that my brothers and sisters are at the house of God praying.
Amen.
I ain't going to do this thing. I've got too much love for them. He was dedicated to them. He said, even if you let me go home to my house, even if you let me know that Joab's out there in the field, I know that they're out there in the open field, and I can't go in and lay down on my bed and my conscience not bothering me, knowing that my brothers are out there fighting the battle.
Amen.
That represents now, I don't see how children stay at home while their brothers and sisters are out fighting the battle, folks. I just don't see how it can be done. Nathan or Uriah learned us a lesson. He wasn't indulged in his luxuries when he knew they were at war.
Amen.
Don't you wish we had some Christians like that? Fighting on those Christians today. They'll say, well, they'll have enough of visitation now. There ain't no use in me going. Mm-hmm. Maybe I need something somewhere or something like that. Always embarrassing them when I pass them on the road somewhere where I'm visiting. And it bothers them, you know. Uriah said, if I know my brothers are out there fighting a battle, I can't stand it unless I'm out there with them.
Amen.
I'll not do that. All right, we're going to go on tonight. Thirdly with this, some of you got mad at that, maybe. It's truth anyhow.
Amen.
And brother, we're telling you tonight that we learn a lesson from Nathan. We learn a lesson from Nathan. Now, if you study these Bible characters, it'll make you a Christian, friend. You say, well, I know so-and-so goes in other churches and they don't do it. You're not to go by those. So God didn't tell us to look at the other churches and do like they did. He said, do like the Bible says.
Amen.
And you take your example from these Bible characters and Christian Bible teachings, and you'll be all right in the sight of God, and not just in the sight of the denomination or the sight of men. Another thing we learned a lesson, how that David put Uriah, he said, put Uriah out there in the heart of the battle. Let him stand on the front line. I want that man dead. And Uriah, of course, got killed, and Bathsheba mourned for him a little while, and he had, the Bible said that he had Bathsheba brought to him after her mourning days were over, and he took her to be his wife. And then the Bible said that the Lord laid on the servant's heart of man by the name of Nathan to come and rebuke David for what he had done. And brother, the Bible said that the thing David had done displeased the Lord. He had it hid from everybody. Nobody didn't know what was going on but him. But God knew what was going on. Let me tell you tonight, God knows what's going on in your life too. And in my life. He knows whether you're able or not. He knows whether you're dedicated or not. He knows what you really do. He knows where you really go. You can come up here and you can sing in the choir, or you can teach a class, or you can play an instrument, or you can you can do anything in the house of God, or maybe you just come and sit and you act like everything's all right when you shake my hand. I want you to know, brother, there's one that watches you.
Amen.
When you're on the outside of the church door.
That's
and
right.
Every place you go,
amen,
every word you speak,
that's
everything
right
that you say.
Yes, sir.
Marking it down. He sent Nathan to David. And Nathan came to David and he said, David, got a little story I want to tell you. There was a rich man that needed something. And there was a poor man that didn't have that but one little old lamb. And you know what that rich man done? He had all them lambs out there. And he took that poor man's one little lamb and gave it to his traveler. And David said, a man like that needs to be killed. Let him die. Nathan said, thou art the man.
Right.
You the one that did it. Because the Lord asked you and give you all of this stuff. And poor old Uriah didn't have but that one wife, and you took her from him and had him killed.
Man.
Can you imagine how David felt? Him trying to play righteous and everything, and all of a sudden that thing come out on him like that? Another good example of Numbers 32, be sure your sin will find you out.
Right.
You can have it hid for a little while, but it'll come out right in front of everybody one day. Now, we look at this tonight, we can spiritualize this thing also, apply it to the church.
What would the average church, and I'm speaking of the average church, I'm not just talking to New Manor, I'm not just talking to Sunny Bell, I'm not just talking to some of these other churches that may be represented here, I'm talking about the average church, the average so-called, soul-winning, fundamental, Bible-believing, Bible-preaching, Bible-practicing, so-called church. Now, what if you went into the average church today, and you got up there and you said, folks, I mean, you didn't come to preach or anything. You just come in for life. I got something to say. Down here in this community, there's a group of people, and they're meeting, and they meet every week. And he said, these people are the meanest people that you've ever seen in your life. He said, these people, they're right next door. That's that meanest of some people. And he said, and I got up there before that church, and I said, folks, I just heard it on the news. I got to tell you something. They live, this group of people, they live beside this house, and a woman and some babies lived in this house. And it's locked on the outside, and they have the key to it. And the house caught on fire, and the little babies were screaming. And the mother was saying, get my babies out of here. Help me. Get me out of here. And he was screaming out the window. But the people that were meeting next door just turned their head and act like they didn't hear and act like they didn't see. You know what the church would say? They'd say, well, a bunch of people like that ought to go to the electric chair.
Boys
and girls die like that in the fire. They ought to be killed. They ain't fit to shoot. Brother, I say unto you tonight, thou art the people.
Amen.
We're the ones that are sitting by while the world goes to hell.
Amen.
We're the ones that are twiddling our thumbs and reading our prayer book and singing our prayer song and doing this and giving our little talks and our sharing group while men, women, boys, and girls in sin are screaming and begging for somebody to help them. I say unto thee tonight, thou art the people.
Amen.
God's message us tonight. How can we sit idly by while men, women, boys, and girls scream and beg for somebody to come and tell them about Jesus?
Amen.
Brother, how can we do it? We're a wicked bunch of people.
Right.
A bunch of people. Right. We're a lamb bunch of people.
Amen.
I know tonight you say, well, I thought we were doing pretty good. We are compared to the world standard. But I want you to know, what does God think about us tonight?
That's right, brother.
And I'm telling you tonight, every one of us ought to get our feet hot for God.
Amen.
Every one of us ought to get our feet warm for God.
Amen.
And say, I don't care what anybody says, thinks, I'm going to go seek and rescue the perishing, care for the dying. I ain't going to let my feet get cold on God. I ain't going to let my feet get dirty on God. I've got my feet washed tonight, Brother Eddie. I've got my feet warm tonight. You just show me the first person I see that needs to be witnessed to. I'm going to talk to him. I ain't going to sit by and let him die and go to hell. By God's grace, I'm going to have me a spiritual foot washing tonight.
Amen.
Turn the Bible to Romans chapter 10. We'll give you a verse and we're going to close. Romans chapter 10. How to have pretty feet. How to have pretty feet. Verse 14. Now, this of course is talking about preachers, but men, women, boys, and girls are in a sense preaching the gospel when they witness to a person. And I know that women ain't supposed to preach in the church. I know that women ain't supposed to have authority over the church or speak to the men and bear some authority over them. But I'm telling you tonight, brother, that women and men and boys and girls are to be a witness for the Lord Jesus Christ on an individual basis, one-to-one. Nobody's exempt. Nobody. You can't show anyone the Bible where it says that they are. You know, the Bible always talks about, usually, the Bible was addressed, and we've covered this before on Sunday night and talked about it. The Bible, usually epistles are addressed to the brethren of the church. That's who it was addressed to because they were in charge and they were over the family. And directly it was to the men. But the men were to take it and read it to the whole church. He said, read it to the whole church. And the teachings in that epistle, everybody in the whole church is supposed to follow.
Sure.
That includes men, women, boys, and girls, little kids even. It's to the whole church, everybody that's born again. And the Bible usually talks to the brethren, and if it's got something specifically to say to the women, he'll say, let your women do this, or let your women do that, or tell your women not to do this, or tell your women not to do that. You can't show me anywhere in the Bible where it says for a woman not to witness. Or a child, or a boy, or a good kid to go to school. The only preacher to men is every child of God's duty. And my dear friends tonight, how to keep your feet clean is keep them clean. Go to the right places. Stay away from the worldly places. Stay away from them. You say, well, I went to see a good, clean Christian movie. Yeah, but you know what? That $2 you give us that good Christian movie will sponsor that ex-lady with next
week. Amen. Right.
That's right. Anything without the Hollywood ain't clean, no. I guarantee you there's a bunch of love and filth in it.
Amen.
Lust, brother. Brother, I'm here to tell you tonight, keep your feet clean. If you want God to use you. God will use your dirty feet. Oh, you may be talented. You may be able to do this or that. God won't bless it. He won't. But God blesses clean living, friend. Clean living. You say, well, I heard a preacher, he said, well, I don't care what he said.
Amen.
God won't bless clean, unclean living.
That's right.
Got to be clean. And then you got to keep them warm. And here's how to have pretty feet. How shall they then call upon him, Romans chapter 10, in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except to be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. The Bible says, shod up with the preparation of the gospel. You know what? A bunch of people in this church tonight need to get you gospel shoes.
Amen.
You got it. You can't go, you can't got nothing to tell. The gospel's what we need. Get your gospel shoes on. Read that gospel. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The epistles. Read them. Get your shoes on. Be ready. Have an instant to witness on the spot. The hitchhiker, whoever it might be.